Hello, gamers, and welcome to Game Warp. I'm your host, as always, Edward Jones, and joining me, of course, is my co-host, Miss Kim Lowe.
Hello.
Tonight, we're looking at Donut County, a highly unique indie game from Ben Esposito and published by Annapurna Interactive. A game in which you play a hole that has to basically go around and swallow all the objects on the level in a kind of reverse Katamari-style game, which is going to make this real interesting to try and review tonight. But Kim, I mean, this is another one that you brought to the table because obviously being an indie title, you're always on the ball when it comes to these things. And this was certainly an interesting game, to say the least.
Well, I mean, interesting. I'd say probably more along the lines of quirky. I mean, when this first came out, like, I think when we first saw the trailer, I don't remember at what event, it was really puzzling, I think, just how this game concept would play out as a full game, right? Yeah. And, I mean, luckily, when you look at Donut County is about 2 hours long, depending on, you know, how much you wanted to hit all the achievements and stuff, right? But, I mean, the game in general is, you know, pretty simple. For most of it, you're just playing through all the characters in Donut County that got swallowed up by this hole, and that was controlled by BK,
he's a raccoon who owns BK's the raccoon who owns a local donut shop, but he's actually more interested in playing this new mobile app he's got because he's trying to earn enough points for a quadcopter drone. Over the course of the game, because the game flashes back and forth between the residents of Donut County, who are all currently living underground, having fallen into this hole which you play, and they keep flashing back to the events which led to them falling in the hole, which all seem to be mysteriously linked to them ordering donuts from BK. And as the game goes on, you slowly uncover what actually happened, but the actual main gameplay is just, as we said, you play a hole. You start off as a small hole, and the more items you swallow, the bigger the hole becomes, which allows you to swallow bigger items, with the end goal of each level to swallow everything on the map. And along the way, certain items have to require you to solve puzzles, or you have to line up other objects to enable buildings to fall down, or to characters to move from one location so that they can fall in the hole. And as Kim says, this is a short but very curious game, to say the least.
I mean, there's a bigger story here for sure. They're trying to work in, pretty much trying to get BK to admit that he did something wrong, or realize that he did something wrong by the actions that he took in order to try to get his quadcopter. And it kind of puts in this relationship between the only human that seems to be living here, called Mira, and BK, Mira works for BK. And you start realizing that the world, you know, this whole system is run, this whole app or whatever, is run by a bigger, you know, it's like the trash king, which is obviously like the raccoon king. And it becomes kind of, you have this whole concept of how you're going to get, once you've gone through how to, you know, everyone's story of how they got here, you end up having to figure out a way to get out.
The game itself came about because Esposito was developing the Unfinished Swan. And the core game concept was fronted by Game Jam based on video game pitches from the Peter Molyneux parody Twitter account, Peter Molyneux. Peter Molyneux, if you don't know already, is a game developer probably best known for making some really outlandish claims about what a lot of his games can do. But he's given us over the names. I mean, he gave us Populous, he gave us Dungeon Keeper, Black and White, Theme Park, and the Fable series, including, and most randomly, Curiosity, What's Inside the Cube, which basically involved players tapping and swiping on a cube for months on end to win a prize at its core, which he promised would raise players to godlike status. And unsurprisingly, it was a promise that did not deliver at all. But yeah, Peter Molyneux is a parody account which basically puts out fake game ideas. In particular for this one, the one which inspired it was, you play the role of a hole, you must move around the environment making sure certain elements fall into correct targets at the right time. And this basically inspired Esposito to create this game in kind of like a reverse Katamari Dynasty game, because in Katamari Damacy you basically play a bowl and you roll into items, and the bigger your bowl gets, the bigger items you can get. So you start off with like fence posts and people, and then eventually you're rounding up like buildings as you control this bowl to gather up all the items on the map. And this is essentially what we have here, is just you have a hole that gets bigger, and the bigger the hole gets, the bigger the items you can swallow.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the nutshell of this. I mean, in reality, if you think about it, it is kind of like a really wacky idea. but you know, I do have to say that as you go through the little happy music that goes on in the background and the fun little conversation, very pun-filled conversations that they have, it has its own little charm. I mean, it's not meant to be a super deep game either. It's meant to, you know, just be kind of like a one-shot type of game, one sitting probably even, because, you know, if you have 2 hours, this game is pretty much just, you know, a very simple way to kind of clear your mind as you're trying to go through each of the levels, being like, okay, well, I'm going to take this brick, and then I'm going to move here, and I'm going to pick this cage up, and then I'm going to pick up this barbecue, and, you know, like, you start moving up and up, and then how to work through all of these different areas. And I do like the fact that, you know, there's some little wacky ideas, like when you have that when there's like levels where the hole fills up with water.
Yeah.
That you have to put it next to that bird that really, like, that bird that no one ever, I don't think anybody has anymore.
Oh, the, but it's like the bird the drinking that bed.
Bends down and then it sips up all the water.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's kind of like a really nostalgic feeling to some of the items that they use and some of the puzzles that they have. Like, a lot of it isn't incredibly difficult. Maybe some of them are a little bit more, I don't know, tedious. Maybe a little bit more, I don't know how you say it, but some of them is a little bit more, I don't know, just a little complicated, not complicated, but it's kind of like just a little iffy to get out sometimes. Like, you have to do a few more maneuvers to get the exactness of, especially after the hole gets this catapult mechanism.
Yeah. I think it's definitely... I think Esposito really described the game best when he calls it a whimsical physics toy, because that's basically what it is. You're knocking things over, and you try, when you're playing it, especially when you get to the bigger hole, you try and go under objects so you can try and get them to landing cleanly rather than them falling apart. And as you said already, Kim, there's like a number of fun little puzzles. Like, there's a level where you've got to light a firework and position it under a group of birds on a telephone line. There's other ones where you collect all this, you collect all the rabbits, and then all the rabbits mate in your hole, and it just launches this cannon, like, fountain of baby rabbits in the air, which you have to then collect to make your hole even bigger. And it's, yeah, I mean, some of the levels, there's like, there'd be like one or two like smaller items that you need just to get the hole big enough to start getting like really big items, and that can be a little frustrating. But I struggled to sit down and play this for more than an hour at a time, because it's just very samey. Like, every level is pretty much the same thing. Occasionally, yeah, you get an interesting puzzle or something, but a lot of the time it's sort of like this whimsical distraction before you go and play something else.
Yeah, pretty much. I think for me it was pretty good to have this type of game, because my mind and anxiety level, you know, with my real-life job has been a little bit crazy. So it was kind of nice to have a game that kind of shut down a lot of my mind, and it was just really straightforward, really simple. And it's kind of the same concept as coloring books or paint by numbers.
It is.
Where your mind just focuses on doing something that's already outlined for you. And it really achieves that simplicity, but still have that kind of relatively fun type of element, because I think the main thing behind it is is really the story they're trying to tell, and whatever lesson that you're going to get out of this, whether it's accepting your mistakes or, you know, owning up to it and fixing your own problems or friendship or whatever you want to get out of this story. I mean, I can see this as kind of like a game that maybe kids would like a little bit more because it is fairly simple, like younger kids. Because it's just so simple to maneuver. But then, I mean, I haven't been a kid in a long time, so I don't know what kids like these days.
It's something you can obviously give kids, and you can also amuse adults or people who don't really play games. It's sort of like that entry game that you can give them. It's all like, oh, we'll play this physics game, and, you know, when they get used to that, put them on something else. Because it's, in a way, it's a good way to, like, get used to how a DualShock controller works, for example. Like, just, like, moving around. And all, I mean, this is a very colourful world. It's all donut shops and beachside houses and trailer parks and funny, colourful animals and stuff. So I shouldn't have been surprised that Esposito also worked on What Remains of Edith Finch, as well as Crap, No One Loves Me. So he's already got this sort of, like, background in sort of quirky games. I mean, What Remains of Edith Finch again was quirky enough, but I think that felt like more of a game than this did.
Well, for sure. I mean, What Remains of Edith Finch when it came out was rather impressive. I mean, I think it made like our top three of the year that it was released, or the year that we played it at least. So I mean, it ranked fairly high, and even till today I still remember a lot of the game. And the same goes for, you know, Unfinished Swan, which is from the same company as What Remains of Edith Finch. So Giant Sparrow Games was, Ben Esposito did a bit of, you know, the game design and that sort of stuff for both of Unfinished Swan. And, I mean, on his page, he talks about, like, the work that he did for these projects. But, I mean, those two games are also, you know, fairly quirky. I mean, Unfinished Swan is very quirky because you're just tossing paint into an area and to find your path to make out different things, and it's just like a little journey in its own where you're tossing paint over and over again, and it creates this path into this world, which is essentially in black and white, and all these little stories as you follow this story about a swan and whatnot, and it links to, you know, the characters. I believe it's a story with his mom or something like that, who was a painter. So the story, you know, I mean, those two games are, you know, very wacky, but has really good content, like very good, is really worth playing. So, you know, I mean, Donut County, you know, I think it's for more like, it's not really for like the hardcore gamer. It's for people, like you said, at entry level, right? It's super simple. It's super relaxing. It's just a game to, you know, have a few chuckles from their conversations. And, you know, it's really cute and colorful and, you know, like a quick little time, like a palate cleanser between your games, probably would be a good way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, as I say, it's just a curiosity. And I think the fact it's on Game Pass really helps as well, because I think if you actually bought this game,
I don't know how much, you know, that's the thing, is how much would you price Donut County that you would be willing to play for 2 hours with game content like this, right? I know that, you know, a lot of people say, you know, the pricing should be, you know, it shouldn't be based on the hours that it is. It should be based on the quality of the game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the end, who knows the quality of the game until you play it? Everybody's going to base it on, you know, the length at a certain level, right? Who's going to pay $20 for... At least I won't play $20 for a two-hour game unless I'm, you know, I'm being paid to do this.
You know? I think you're paying $20 for... $20 for this, you can be very disappointed. This is sort of like a real bargain. It's like kind of like a bargain title, this is, and... I don't think I would ever pay for it, but as I said, the fact it's on Game Pass, like so many of the indie titles on there, makes me more interested to sort of pick it up and play it than I probably would otherwise. So I think that's the great thing about the Game Pass, is it's given these indie titles a platform to be played and enjoyed on. So, I think once you finish Donut County, I don't think you're ever going to return to it. I think if you imagine make it the end, you're doing well. Certainly, as I said, you get... I couldn't play this for like more than an hour. It's just the repetition of each level. Yes, it's very colourful worlds and very detailed and very, very interesting, but yeah, it's just the repetition is just too much to really sort of sit down and play this for like hours on end, because it's just not that sort of game. So,
well, I mean, it's only 2 hours long, so
play it from start to finish then.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. I mean, I think that this type of game is really for a certain type of people, I guess. It's not something that, you know, like, for me, I don't mind. I didn't play this in one sitting either, just mostly because I didn't have the time to do it. But I can see this game as something that I would have sat through.
Yeah.
2 hours to play, just because I knew the length wasn't too long and that it was fairly simple and it was something that I needed at this moment. Probably if I was playing this when I was less busy with, like, everything else in life, then maybe this one would have been more of a... I would have felt a little bit differently about it. So, you know, for me, it was kind of stress-relieving.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with yourself. I think, totally, to go back to your original comment of, like, what you were saying about, like, adult colouring and things like that, and this is really sort of like the gamer sort of version of adult colouring. It's just something to throw on and to forget about your troubles, especially in these, you know, interesting times we currently live in. It's nice to have that sort of distraction and to have something where there is no risk. There is no nothing that's going to go particularly wrong or for you to fail. It's just a lot of trial and error. But as I said, at the same time, your errors aren't exactly going to set you back at all. So it's different.
Well, I mean, the only thing that changes for this game is probably by the end, where the only big event is really at the end, where we have kind of like a boss fight. But the game is super, super, like, forgiving about it, where they really don't want you to die. So I actually was playing it, and then I was really bad at the whole catapult aiming thing. And at one point, pretty much I had literally a sliver of life left. And then the game just let me win. it's meant to be forgiving, and, you know, it's not meant to be that hard. I don't mind having a game like this every once in a while, to be honest. Like, there's not really a whole lot to talk about. You either like this sort of game or you don't, but, I mean, at least I think it kind of... I was just really curious. I think the reason why I suggested that to play this was really out of the curiosity of how a game about creating holes in the ground was was a thing, you know? And, like, what could they do with it? And now I know. You know, talking about, you know, wacky games, like, is there any other games that you know which is, like, wacky game ideas, like gaming worlds, gaming mechanics, that sort of thing?
I'm just trying to think of one. You've already got that one where you're the guy in the cauldron who has to climb up the mountain that everyone was really excited about.
Oh, the Bennett
goes climbing or something.
Bennett fought it or something like that?
Something like that, which I had no interest in.
Getting over it with... Getting over it with Bennett Foddy.
Yeah, that's the one. Which I know that all the games conferences and stuff, people were just super excited about that. I just could not get the appeal. Goat Simulator I found to be weirdly fun, and they were having about the same sort of playtime as I got with this one. Where you just, as I said, you play a goat and you go around causing chaos and throwing yourself into things. And the fact that the goat has got all the physics of a wet sack of meat is also kind of amusing.
There's Octodad, which is Octodad Deadliest Catch, which is just about, you know, kind of like ragdoll mechanics. So you're trying to move him around, and my friend actually just did a stream about it the other day, and we were laughing so hard because he couldn't get out of the bathroom stall, and he ended up, like, straddling the toilet. It was just super hilarious when you're watching it. But, you know, you have games like that, and I think most of these games with ragdoll kind of mechanics is like that. Like I Am Bread, where, you know, the concept is really weird, where you're playing, like, different levels of how to get your bread to, you know, to be toasted.
Yeah, that's...
But without dropping it to the floor.
My Name Is Mail, you've got as well, which has got the achievement points of, like, something like 1,000 clicks.
Okay.
So you've got people who've got the platinum for playing My Name Is Mail, which is just where you just sit there for an hour or so, just like clicking on this jar of mail, and it occasionally changes like outfits and stuff, but nothing happens. It's kind of like farms. It's kind of like Farm Simulator in that way.
I think probably the latest one is probably when people heard Untitled Goose Game, right?
Yeah,
that's kind of a wacky idea too. It actually isn't that wacky, but the fact that you're playing as a goose, trying to kind of prank everyone who's living there in a certain way, kind of makes it pretty fun. I mean, I played a bit of it with my friends before, and it's, you know, before pre-pandemic, and it was a really, really quirky, fun experience, I think, as a group. I'm not sure how it would feel, you know, playing it by yourself, but I mean, definitely points for being unique, right?
Definitely. And the other one I would say is Supermarket Shriek, where you play the goat in the shopping cart, and you just have to make noise to go around the obstacle course. Which my wife actually banned me with, because it just is the most annoying game. It just makes the same noise just constantly. But it makes it louder or quieter depending on how fast you're going. Those are the ones which are sort of standing out to me at the moment. I mean, everything else that I can think of that's quirky is like, feels like it's got an actual game there. It's not just like...
Yeah.
It's not like those early PC games you used to play with, like the gorillas throwing the exploding bananas at each other. Like these weird DOS games that somebody in had just like come up with. That's about all I have to say on this game. Check it out on Game Pass if it's on there. It's some quirky fun for you, and it's a fun distraction before you go off and play something else. Well, that brings us to the end of tonight's episode. Thank you for listening. If you haven't done already, please do hit the like and subscribe button wherever you happen to be listening to us. You can follow us on Facebook, and we're on Instagram as well, and you can check out our blog, which is Game Warp Podcast.
GameWarpBlog.wordpress.com.
Okay, I'm just going to give up on this now. It's on there somewhere. Use Google. GameWarpBlog.wordpress.com. Yep. Okay. And on there you can find all our reviews and other fun stuff like that on there as well. But until next time, thank you to my co-host Kim, and we will be back again soon. Good night.